Welcome to Ninja Your Life podcast with your host, optimal well-being and self-mastery coach, Sonia Tam, where you learn how to ninja your life physically, mentally, spiritually, and intuitively using the strategies from the intersection of applied positive psychology, clinical psychology, fitness, mindfulness and meditation, and the time-tested wisdom from Sonia's 35-plus years as a martial artist and now 6-degree black belt master. Hi, Ninja Nation. How are your mind, body, and spirit doing today? I'd like to welcome you all to episode 6. We will be talking about optimal well-being today. What really is it? And what does thriving and flourishing mean in our personal and professional lives? So I am your host, Sonia Tam. I'm recording from my home in Chicago, Illinois. It's a gorgeous day, September 1st. I'm starting to really feel like my favorite season is coming. So I'm pretty happy today. I've actually been very contemplative, taking stock of maybe the last 6 months and tightening up my business model, trying to get a little bit more organized. I'm just really feeling some new energy, refreshing the home, refreshing my heart, my focus. And I just had an awesome Skype meeting with two fabulous women that are doing some incredible work in Texas and LA. Look them up. They're a Krav Maga group, and I will actually put their website in my show notes here. Their names are Jenny and Jarrett, and they're doing some amazing self-empowerment, corporate self-defense type of workshops, and it's so much more than just learning self-defense. So definitely look at their website in my show notes. So I'm feeling really energized. I'd like to thank all of you for listening in today to Ninja Your Life, where you learn self-mastery tools to be happier, healthier, and stronger in all areas of your life. And optimal well-being to me really is about the science and art, actually, of flourishing and thriving in our lives. So what we're doing is, and I don't want to have people get too confused, because I had a couple people who were like, what does Ninja Your Life really mean? Do you want me to be a martial artist? Well, of course I would love you to be a martial artist, but this is not what this is about at all. I am taking the word ninja in a completely different way, and I certainly hope you are too. Ninja Your Life is all about really just getting rid of those obstacles that are getting in the way of you being just great and thriving in your lives, personally, professionally, with relationships, in all levels of your life. So I just want to bring some clarity to ninja your life and what it means. It just means like you're going to ninja your life. You're going to upgrade it. If I were to put it in a better words, it's that you're building thriving lives. That's what we're doing. We're trying to build a thriving life. The word build is going to come up quite a bit today. One of the reasons why I'm talking about optimal well-being is I think sometimes people can't really grasp what that even means. Well-being, wellness, you hear these words thrown around all the time. We can go and buy tons and tons of books on this, tons and tons of audio we can listen to, podcasts. It doesn't matter. If you don't practice something every single day, even just one step, you're not going to get that compound effect where you actually are developing a new habit. So I really urge you all to just do one positive habit a day for the next 30 days and have an accountability team or partner where they just check in with you, even if it's as small as, and this, I have to tell you, to be honest with you, this was something that I had to do with water. I'm not a big water drinker. So I literally am so OCD with water, I literally pour it in a baking measuring cup and fill it up to my 8 ounces, and I drink 8 to 10 of those a day, as much as I can. And that's just a small step I did probably like 2 months ago, and it helps. And I know it probably looks absolutely ridiculous drinking water from a baking cup, but you know what? It works for me. So anyway, I digress. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my history, first of all. So I actually come from a background, I'm a pretty scientific-minded person and artistic, so I'm one of those people that is a little bit, I would say cursed in a way, in a positive way, if you can flip it that way. I have a background in what we would consider now it's psychobiology. So I actually have a bachelor's degree in psychobiology. So this field called to me very early on in my life. And I was very touched by watching, I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with Bill Moyers, but I saw Healing and the Mind on a PBS special, and I think it was in the early 1990s. I was absolutely glued to that TV and so fascinated with his interviews with scientists and, you know, healers, and I just knew that I was being called to this field. And a couple years after that, I got my bachelor's from Ripon College, by the way, awesome school. I know it's in a very small town for some of you in Wisconsin, but I had amazing education. And I got my psychobiology degree. And what does that really mean? It's a very fancy word for just basically, it's a behavioral neuroscience degree. So I'm pretty much of a nerd inside my head, hopefully balanced with some creativity, and I appreciate the arts as well. So it's psychobiology applies biological principles to the study of like physiological and genetic and developmental aspects of behavior, but also in humans and in animals. So I had an awesome beginning of this optimal well-being journey that I find myself on right now in front of you, talking to you on this this podcast. So the beginning stages, yes, started in the martial arts for me, but it really went on through some pretty hardcore education, and I'm just so grateful that I was one of the blessed ones that had answered the calling, as they say in the hero's journey, and just really, really grateful for this. And I'm talking to you a little bit about optimal well-being and the clarity of it from a scientific standpoint too. So then after that, after I got my bachelor's degree, I opened up a martial arts school for 10 years called Alive and Kickin', and that was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I really got a chance to develop curriculum, and I had amazing students. They were so talented. I got burnt out. That was the only reason why I actually terminated my business and dissolved it, is because I had compassion fatigue and burnout. And then I went back to school to get my master's degree in clinical psychology, which I did my thesis on the exact thing that we're talking about today, which is optimal well-being. To be more specific, my thesis was actually on Martin Seligman's PERMA model, and you can certainly look that up, and that is P-E-R-M-A, and that's measuring and building organizational flourishing is what I did. Oh, I hope I didn't make you all fall asleep to this, but I am getting somewhere on this. I believe that there is a scientific way to really practice flourishing in your life and optimal well-being. And what that means to me, I mean, if there's one thing that we probably have in common, especially if you're listening in on this podcast, that really binds us together, is that we have a deep desire to contribute to our own wellness and well-being and to others that we care about and to this whole world. I'm pretty much willing to gamble on that one, that we are really in this together and trying to build thriving lives so that we can be better people for the people that we love and for the world as a whole. So optimal well-being is extremely important to practice, not just read about and hear. And so today I want to talk a little bit about what this means. So optimal well-being is just the idea of defining flourishing. So positive psychology defines flourishing as we can either basically flourish or we can languish in life and to live within an optimal range of human functioning, one that has goodness and we have growth and we have resilience. So flourishing is the opposite of both pathology and languishing, which are described as living a life that feels both hollow and empty. So that's, you know, if I were to define happiness, which I don't really believe there is a goal to be happy, I mean, that's a moving target to me. Happy, what does that even mean to me? Is it something we can get to? Or is it something that we have to discover that that already lives within us? Am I happy this moment? Was I happy 2 moments ago? Am I going to be happy tomorrow? So it's kind of a moving target. So I much prefer the words optimal well-being, and I much prefer flourishing or thriving to me. That makes a lot more sense. And so flourishing and thriving, obviously those two words can be used, you know, interchangeably. They really are about applying the positive emotions, you know, having that ratio of, for every, you know, let's say 3 negative emotions you might feel a day, you make sure that you're actually practicing at least 5 or double that, you know, that you're actually offsetting those negative emotions. So unfortunately, we actually remember and feel those negative emotions more than our positive emotions. There's a negative bias in our brain. So practicing a 3-to-1 ratio, or practicing, you know, what we have, Dr. Gottman actually has something called a magic ratio of 5-to-1. So the point is try not to get too hard on yourself about this, but keeping your ratio higher on the positive end versus the negative, especially in your relationships and with children. So optimal well-being includes practicing daily positive emotions. And those can undo the effects of negative emotions, as just said. They also prevent and speed up recovery from illness, and including the common cold and the flu. And they also help reduce stress and heart disease. So this is a very important one. Positive emotions can predict a longer lifespan, and they can broaden our cognition and help our memory and help people be more accepting of other people's behaviors and diversity. So this is a good one. So I really wanted to, you know, just really touch upon these things very lightly, because a lot of times optimal well-being, like I said, is kept in such a conceptual, you know, view that it's like, I have no idea what that even means. And it's definitely building a stronger and a better body. But it's not just about fitness. It is about your emotional, mental, and spiritual fitness too. So this is, you know, we can have a very fit body and have 14% body fat, but we can be really super unhealthy and not happy. And actually, I know a couple of people in my life right now that are very, very fit, and they probably could go and do a fitness contest, but mentally and spiritually feel very hollow and feel very empty and no meaning in life. So that's a really important thing that we want to look at this from a very broad level. And we want to look at it as that we can measure optimal well-being. We can literally measure it with assessments. And that's so easy to do. All you do is go to authentichappiness.com. And you can take these free questionnaires, and I can put this in the show notes as well. And then you can look at those areas where you might need more work, and then just build. So measure and build optimal wellness, optimal well-being. I think that's such great news. Another one I'd like to mention is that in the PERMA, I like to actually add a few more things to Dr. Martin Seligman's PERMA model. I have my own model that's modified from him, giving credit to him. But another big one to this is healing. And in optimal well-being, we can address a lot of these constructs in the model that I do in workshops and seminars. And I'm not going to go through the full model in the podcast, but if you'd like to hire me to come and speak at any of your events or schools or organizations, I'd be more than happy to do my full presentation for you. Healing is, I mean, what is it? What needs to be done? Why is it so relevant in optimal well-being? And it is absolutely relevant. And a lot of us who have had dramas and traumas in our lives, those might be living below the conscious awareness of in our life. So PTSD can be, you know, from an ungrieved loss or going to war. And a lot of our vets have gone to war more than once, so that's constant trauma. The suicide of a loved one, violence, divorce, anything that's an ungrieved loss, they can be small, big, however you interpret them, they can create these emotional wounds that absolutely need to be tended to and cared for. And we like to talk about in optimal well-being, especially if I'm coaching somebody that has been through something. And by the way, you're not alone. Most of my clients actually have had some trauma or some healing that needs to be brought back to home. And I say that because I could go on and on about healing, and it's one of the topics that I'm going to be focusing on quite a bit in 2017 for optimal well-being presentations, because I don't think it's talked about enough, especially in the workplace. It totally affects your work. Absolutely. Unhealed wounds and not being conscious of this baggage that that's a weight on your shoulders, and maybe it's just been there for years or weeks or months. We absolutely need to get through a healing process to let go. Those two words are so important. Release, let go, take those lessons, let it make you stronger, move forward. So I do not believe in like resilience where you take a rubber band. This is how they usually will do an example of resilience in a presentation or with children in front of them. This is a resilience little example where they pull a rubber band and say, this is trauma, or this is what happens to you when something stressful happens. And then they let go of the rubber band on one side of the, on one hand. And then this is you bouncing back. And I just don't think that actually captures optimal well-being. That is not resilience to me. Resilience is if stress or trauma or drama stretches you, you bounce back to a stronger baseline, not the one that you were at before. That's post-traumatic growth. And that's what I really, really like to talk to people about, especially if they feel exhausted, burnt out, compassion fatigue. There might be something underneath that, even further underneath, that needs to be brought out and brought to a buoyancy so that you can handle that in a way that's very, like, for positive self-care rituals, for example, might be the first step to healing. So we are designed to heal. We really are. And we have to make time to heal. And this is all part of soul retrieval. What are those parts of you that you miss? What are those parts of you that you're no longer connected to and you wish you were? Or maybe you forgot about them. And this actually, you know, trauma and drama and all of the stuff that happens to us, it can happen overnight, right? Instantaneously. But healing cannot. Unfortunately, it cannot. And don't believe anybody who's got some sort of snake oil quick fix for healing, because it's not going to happen. It's definitely takes patience, and it takes daily positive rituals, and it's all about letting go of the stories and narratives that we think we are. Usually it's going to be we're identifying with the thing that happened to us. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about optimal well-being, that it's a lot more than just functioning in life. It's a lot more than just being fit. It's already within you. It's already within you. You don't need to go chase optimal well-being. I want everybody to remember that this is a path that we're all on together, and it's a path of and not a path to. So we're already practicing it. It's nothing to chase. It's not perfect well-being. It's optimal well-being. It's building a life that you thrive in. And I took you through positive emotions and healing today. There are several others that I teach in my presentations that last about 2 to 4 hours. Sometimes I'll teach a 2-day retreat on it, and we really dive deep then. And I just want to let everybody know that this is about flourishing in our life, and we can't take care of our work life and our relationships and our families unless we do have self-care rituals. We have to build a self-care toolbox. So as everybody knows, one of those tools in that toolbox, or if you want to call it a medicine pouch instead of a toolbox, which actually I do, is definitely meditation. So we'll leave today's episode, number 6, with a nice 3-to-be-free breathing meditation together. So I'd like everybody to sit into a comfortable, spot or if you're lying down. You can close your eyes. Again, if you're driving the car, you can still breathe with us. That's fine, but just don't close your eyes. And I want you to take a nice, deep belly breath. Inhale. So you're going to go from the belly, inhale, and let that breath rise up and through the lungs. And then exhale, top down. So from the lungs down through the belly. Take a nice deep inhale again. And let's do this another two times. In through the belly, up and through the lungs. Feel what it feels like to breathe as if it's the very first time that you've ever breathed. Exhale. And inhale. And exhale. Okay, so I'd like you to come back into your body, look around, take in the textures, the colors, the temperature of the air. And then I'd like to wish you a wonderful, beautiful day, or for you, if you're across the seas, maybe it's a nighttime for you. And thank you so much for listening to Ninja Your Life podcast.